The San Jose Sharks are defeated once again, this time by their lowly opponents from Southern California, the Kings, 2-1. Well, lowly in the case of my esteem for them. We'll talk about all that and more after this. But first, if you want to be a part of the show and join the Chompversation, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the page or the app. Follow us on the YouTubes, the X Machine, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Discord, Reddit, and all the shenanigans that happen over on the TikTok. Check out all of that and more at TealTownUSA.com. And if you want to help support the pod, at TealTownUSA on the Venmo machine would help Eric get a new laptop to prevent the seizure of the shows going on in the technology space, because Lord knows we need to get this fixed. Well, I'm happy to be joined by Sharks Jules on Twitter, Sharks_Jules on Twitter, lovingly known as Jules around here. Jules, how are you doing this evening?
I almost fell asleep during that game, but I'm good. I'm very happy right now, but not for this game purposes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a 2-1 game, and you know the Sharks are on the losing spot of a 2-1 game, and all of the scoring happened for the winning team in the first period. Andre Kempe on the breakaway, and then Alik Thompson with his first of the year, and that would be 2-0, and that would literally be 1 minute apart from each other. And I just, you know, you go through a listless second, go through a pretty listless third up until the last 2 minutes. Clem Costin getting a goal with the goalie pulled, his eighth of the season.
I love Clem Costin. Stand Clem Costin.
Mikael Granlund and William Eklund getting the assists there. And that would top off the evening. I mean, what more can we say about this game? It's... You know,
sorry to interrupt. I just have to ask Kings, why do you like the trap? Like, you have enough talent to not play the trap game. Like, geez, they have like guys who are talented enough to not play the trap game, but like, they're like, I don't know if it was the Sharks who were boring or the Kings who were boring or both who were boring, but that was a very boring ass game.
Well, I mean,
anyways, you can continue.
Part of the reason why, Jules, I mean, 16 shots from the San Jose Sharks in 60 minutes of play, and the LA Kings having 27. I mean, you can't manufacture excitement out of numbers like that. And
I will say this: Eklund has gotten very good on his zone entries. Like, there were a few plays today. Like, I'm just making something. I'm making, like, I think lemons out of lemonade right now. But, like, Eklund and his zone entries and Eklund's spinnies have gotten a lot better. And, like, I think that's something to acknowledge. And Bordalo. Can we just give some props right now to this kid who is significantly, after I told him we should trade him, improved his game? We should trade this entire team. Please play better next year. Anyways, sorry. I keep on interrupting.
No, you're totally good. I mean, look, I don't have much to talk about this game, so I'm glad somebody's able to riff. No, but I mean, it just, honestly, what more can you say about the team other than lack of any kind of creativity offensively?
Except for like three players.
And three players till the very end of the game. You talk about the way in which they moved the puck or didn't move the puck through the neutral zone tonight. And again, like you had said, the Kings play glorified trap, which is so interesting to me because of the...
They have the weapons to not do that.
Exactly. And I don't know if that's just a result of Todd McClellan, you know, this coaching vacancy, so you've got to play a more conservative game. I don't know. But at this point,
listen, if the Kings want to play the trap, the Kings can play the trap all they want. But I don't know. I'm glad I'm seeing some progress with the young guns. Like, that's at this point in the season, I don't care if you win or lose, as long as you're in close games and I don't fall asleep while watching you, and I see a little bit of progress with the young kids. Like, that's all I want to see. Like, I don't care if you lose the next, please don't, Sharks, but if you, I mean, you can for the tank, but please, like, don't lose out this season, because that's really depressing. But, like, as long as I see some growth from the kids, that's all I really need to see at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right on point there, Jules. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, Ricky coming up with a good question. Anybody watch the Red Wings? Why Costin wasn't working? I mean, he looks like a solid player.
I think he might have been playing the fourth line. And I just don't think he's a fourth line player.
I was just about to go there. I mean, basically, he's getting an opportunity that he didn't have in Detroit. Because, I mean, look at the void of talent that is on, that is San Jose. I mean, it's, you know, when you've got the talent pool that you have in the Sharks, you're going to get opportunities. So, you know, I think Klim is taking the most of his opportunity and running with it. And hopefully, you know, he can kind of convert that into a decent contract and, you know, stick on somewhere if it's not from the Sharks and somewhere else.
I mean, I really hope he just stays. Like, I feel like he could be part of this next. He's young enough. He's like, what, 24?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could definitely be part of the solution, you know, be kind of that middle guard between the really young Will Smiths and Quentin Musties of the world and, you know, be kind of the veteran presence or semi veteran presence to players like that when they do and eventually make the jump.
And I think those type of guys are also important to your core. Like, you don't just want a young core of, like, you know, 21-year-olds and like 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds right now.
Got to make it a layer cake. You got to make it a layer cake of ages.
Yeah. And that's why I really like Mikhail Granlund. Like, he's in that different age, and I don't know if he'll be here when the Sharks are good again. But, like, you want a guy like even Nico Sturm. I'm going to throw him out there. You want a guy like Will Smith. If they get Celbrini, for example, you want them learning from Granlund and his offensive creativity. And, like, I mean, they don't need much offensive creativity, those two guys. But, like, maybe the defense and the two-way play that we know Smith is trying to improve upon. So it's nice to see those type of veterans, like, you know, having a good season, because it's like someone needs to learn, like, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my tangent for the day. I'm trying to make something out of nothing. I'm so sorry. Bear with us here tonight.
Oh, well, I mean, that's okay. I mean, we're running out the clock here too, just like everybody else, I feel like, watching the show. And look, I think we've got some good things to be excited about. I think you've got a whole list of some new prospects coming up, and we have some more prospects news. I think we'll spend the majority of tonight talking about that. And I think, you know, also have some questions about sports fandom in general. I mean, because there's been some big sports news throughout the day, and, you know, we'll get there too. So anyways, let's just wrap up the evening's play. The Sharks would lose to the Los Angeles Kings 2-1, of course, only mustering 16 shots through 60 minutes of play. And again, Klim Kostin getting the only goal for the Sharks. Mackenzie Blackwood doing a nice job in net with a .926 save percentage, but just not enough. And again, the Kings didn't. They looked in control the entire game tonight. They played the game that they wanted to play, and, you know, maybe lapsed for like the last 5 minutes of the game, and, you know, the Sharks were able to get a little closer and kind of tease us a little bit, but. You know, no more than
keep
that.
Keep it close. Just don't win.
Keep it close and just don't win. Exactly.
Like Jerk says, right where we want them.
Right where we want them. All right. Well, Jules, I think you got the listeners right where you want them. So let's talk about a little bit about the prospect news and just a flurry of moves by the Sharks.
So before I get to the prospects, I do want to mention Philip Biested is a guy to keep an eye out here. He made his AHL CUDA debut last night against the San Diego Goals. Unfortunately, they lost in the shootout. But the dude had 2 goals and 1 assist. So he might be good for all the haters out there. He just might be a little good. So keep an eye out on Philip Biested. I liked his debut. I think he's going to still need a little more time to get adjusted. I don't think he makes the Sharks next year out of camp. I think he spends a year in the AHL developing his game. There's still stuff there he has to work on. We all know that. But before I get to the one that everyone wants me to get to, I'm going to make you guys wait for it. The CUDA have made a flurry of ATOs over the past like few weekish, week and a half. They signed Mason Klee, a defenseman out of Idaho State. I'm going to mess up the spelling, but Luke Grainer, he was actually 11th on the elite prospects rankings, played for Western Michigan, had 33. That's not right. Those stats are not. Oh, no, those stats are correct. 33 games played, 13 goals, 30 assists. I feel like those are wrong, so please don't quote me on that. You have Donovan Howell out of the University of Maine signed to an ATO. You have Luca Van Reboys out of UMass. Shout out to Mark. Signed his ATO and made his debut yesterday also. And then the two guys they signed from Vermont, which is Butchler and Carrier. So just a lot of guys on ATOs. I love Greer just kind of shooting at the darts right now for any of these guys and see who works. I believe Butchler actually had his first goal today as a member of the CUDA. So well, there you go.
I mean, the CUDA needed some warm bodies and, you know, honestly, really good to see that the Sharks are kind of mining out of the college ranks. I felt like for a good moment in time, the Sharks had a really nice scouting pipeline through through college, and we kind of dropped off a little bit, and now it's nice to see a little bit more emphasis played on the college game. I think that there are some really valuable prospects, you know, coming out of college, and again, I think this is just kind of adding to the organizational strength of the Barracuda. You know, a Barracuda team which has had some question marks about leadership, has had some question marks about the direction coaching wise. And I think this kind of signals to us that maybe some more attention will be paid to the AHL team going forward.
I don't
forward.
Think I've seen this many ATOs signed by the CUDA in years. Like, I'm thinking about it. Like, I think the last time, like, even last year, they didn't have this many ATOs. I believe last year they brought in Frisch, if I'm not mistaken, from those ATO groups. But I don't fully recall this many being signed for the CUDA. Like, this is genuinely very nice to see. And we'll get to the big one, guys. I know you all want it. Give me, like, two more minutes. We'll get there. But, like, it's really nice to see them actually caring a little about the CUDA, especially with the tweet that went out yesterday.
But right, yeah. Right. And it kind of goes to Vincent Alvarado's quote on there. Still feel like the CUDA coaching staff need a clear out. Look,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've all talked about it. The lack of success and consistent success. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Consistent success at the NHL level is something that you would want in an NHL coach, or at least having a coach that has some background in developing young players, whether that comes from the CHL or whether that comes from NCAA or comes from Europe. Yep. But having a guy in which you know can take raw, undeveloped players and make them better. We've talked about it all season. I don't know that John McCarthy is that guy.
I think he has done a nice job with Boards and X, but I feel like those guys were already a little prematurely developed. Boards as a two-way game was iffy to begin with. Acklin, I think he's done a good job. I feel like, and you all know that I think McCarthy should be out the door. I've said that on Teal Tinted Glasses many hundred times. I just think you should not throw an inexperienced coach there. Like, that's just my opinion. Like, get a guy from the NCAA. Like, with Greer guys coming in right now, like a guy that we're about to get to, like, this is the perfect opportunity to redo your organization's culture. The perfect. You're not going to get a better opportunity than this summer to redo the culture of the CUDA and be like, hey, we want to win, but we also want to develop. Like, there's teams out there who do both. Look at the Hershey Bears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are teams that are able to develop and able to continue to restock the pipeline. I look at the AHL affiliate for Tampa Bay. I know at one time it was the Milwaukee Admirals. I'm not sure who it is now.
That's the Milwaukee is Predators.
Predators now.
I'm
okay.
Blanking on the.
Was that Syracuse
Tampa.
Crunch?
I think it might be. I don't want to comment on that, but it might be Syracuse. Yeah.
But I mean, we also look at just up the road at the Ontario Reign. We look at, you know, Coachella Valley. You know, we look at some teams in and around the AHL, even just within the Barracuda's vicinity, and you go, boy, those teams seem to be feeding you know, NHL talent to their larger teams. Yeah. Why have the Sharks not been able to do that consistently?
I think part of it is drafting. Like, let's be real here. The drafting of the Sharks in the last, like, since Greer took, like, before Greer took over has been very iffy. I don't know how Greer's drafting has done. He's done, like, 1.5 drafts. Don't come at me. But you know what I mean? Like, their drafting has been iffy, and they haven't really... this is a very interesting alley we could go down right now. Thank you. And it is Tampa, Syracuse. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
Nick and Felix.
Well, at least the old canoodle still works a little bit. But again, I think it goes to our larger point, though. It's we see other teams able to feed and develop talent.
Yeah.
And right now, the Sharks aren't doing that consistently. Yes, you have a Bortolo that came up, and yes, you had an Eklund who played last year and played, you know, at certain parts during the previous year.
Yeah.
But...
No, go ahead.
You had mentioned, there was already a level of talent there that I think was already kind of at critical mass, and it was just needing some slight tweaks, which a player could do on his own.
Yeah.
I just want to see the Sharks maybe go hire a junior or an NCAA coach. I think to me that is going to be the best way to help really mentor young prospects with a lot of pressure, and especially if you're coming from the CHL, which I mean, because Canada's so hockey crazy, you've already kind of understood the spotlight and the pressures that these young athletes are going through, and knowing how to, you know, bring them up into a professional atmosphere.
I mean, this might be a bad example, but look at like a team like BC right now in the NCAA. I know they're stacked, I'm aware, but that coach Craig Brown, I believe is his name, had a line of basically all freshmen, and granted they're talented freshmen, like Smith, Perot, and Leonard are very talented, but it's not an easy ass transition to go from like playing NTDP to like NCAA. Like, he's kind of developing them further than we thought they would take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just look and you kind of wish that same thing would happen with the CUDA. That's a really bad comparison, but that's kind of the first thing that came up in my mind.
No, that's a good. I think it's a good comparison. I think you what the distinction of just having some players, you know, come up through your own system and have some pride as, hey, you know, I'm a San Jose Barracuda product and I'm a San Jose Shark product. You know, I went through the system. I did it the right way. And now, you know, I'm going to help lead the team, you know, back to a more, you know, more stable place, to a place which you can be proud of, you know, fighting for playoff spots and hopefully eventually fighting for a cup. But again, it starts with the AHL development team. It continues on. Your work never ends as an athlete until the day you retire. So it's continuing to have good staff to support these players and support these investment pieces, if you want to call it that. But, you know, capital was spent to get them, whether it was a pick or whether it's, you know, it's money. But you know, you don't want to see these prospects die on the vine, especially with the couple that we're about to talk about right now. So, Jules, I think we waited long enough. Why don't you? Well, let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Apparently, 26 teams were interested in this guy, and Vegas fans were so sour. No, I'm joking. But no, the Sharks announced early this morning that they have signed from the Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Colin Graf. I watched this dude when BC played. Oh baby, I was excited for this. I didn't think the Sharks would get him personally, because there was rumors that he was only looking out east. So I thought he also had connections to the Boston Juniors, I believe. This year, Elite Prospects. Shout out Elite Prospects. This year at Quinnipiac, he had in 34 games played 22 goals, 27 assists. That's his penalty minutes for 49 total points. And last year, he helped lead Quinnipiac to the national championship. So the guy was undrafted. He was actually 5'8", like I think 2 or 3 years ago, and grew up to 6'1". So that's progress there, would you say? I mean, this guy
hashtag ate a lot of chicken with the human growth hormone.
Yeah, no, seriously. No, just like one. I mean, I want to look more into him. Like, from all I've read, it he's a good pickup. He projects to be a second to third liner in the NHL, and if you can get that out of like a lot of teams, we're on to this guy. And I know free agents don't usually hit, but I don't think we've seen this much hype around a certain like college free agent for a while. Like, it feels like this was really hyped up with him. And again, he may hit, he may not. Like, you never know. And we don't even know with like you just never know with like these 21-year-olds. Even you don't know how they're going to develop into.
Oh yeah.
But I'm excited. Like, Greer was able to entice one of a very touted young college free agent to come play for the Sharks. And he did not have any connections to the coaching staff. If you read Shank's article, there were basically no connections to the coaching staff. And I think when you have a chance to play with Will Smith and hopefully Malcolm Celebrini in like the next 3 to 4 years, people are going to want to come.
Yeah.
You know, he played against both of them this year.
I mean, very
the challenge.
You know, I don't want to put this on the kid, but it's kind of like Joe Pavelski-ish similarity as far as the sizing goes and how he kind of had to beat the odds a little bit with, you know, being undrafted. So again, I you know, we don't want to put that kind of label on a kid, you know, for who just got signed, and I want to give him as much slack as you can, because again, going from NCAA, you know, playing 30 some odd games in a schedule, going up to 82, that takes a lot, right? And it's a completely different type of grind. So again, maybe his skills don't all the way translate, but if you could get a productive second or third liner out of a free agent signing, then good on the Sharks for going out there and mining a player.
I think his upside is like his ceiling is probably a second liner. I think his floor is like a third or fourth liner. Maybe like at least you're getting a guy who was going to dominate the AHL, in my opinion. But honestly, I'm just glad they were able to entice him. Like, he was ranked pretty highly. I know he was sixth on the elite prospects. There's a guy in Michigan who's ranked TJ Hughes, who's also pretty. I don't know if he's as highly touted as him. But yeah, it's really nice. And I genuinely thought the Sharks had no chance in signing him, but I think he might be making his NHL debut here in a few days. I know he just got into San Jose today. So
nice. Well, I want to shout out real quick to Real Deal Prime Sabres fan here. It's good to be here. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. I love Owen Power, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know. Owen Power is awesome. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin is just
your blue line is unfair. If you would like to donate some of that to the Sharks, please let me know. You can find my Twitter down below. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, my ex down below. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see. I also saw, I don't know who it was, someone mentioned Polkamp and the transfer portal. And yes, it is the Bay Area. It's one of the most beautiful places to live, but don't forget taxes.
taxes. I mean, yeah, I think we also got to think about too, he probably chose the Sharks because of the lack of organizational depth, right? Because yeah, he has an opportunity to get to the big club. So I think that it's also an opportunities game here, and it's like, what organization is going to give me the best chance to get to the show? And you know, for the Sharks, who have some younger, you know, who have younger prospects, who don't have the organizational depth at the NHL and quite frankly even at the AHL level, there's a really good shot for you to, you know, have a good camp, or you know, have a good last few games with the CUDA and potentially make a fourth line opening day next year. I mean, look,
you never know. I know is my screen frozen? It looks frozen on my end. Oh, it definitely is. Cool. Great. Love my life.
But your sound's still great.
Great. This happens every podcast. I don't know why. My Wi-Fi just says bye-bye at like the 30-minute mark. No, but I forgot. Yeah, he had ties to Boston, and like, so I genuinely thought he was heading there. My video's back. Hi. Oh, it's not back. I genuinely thought he was heading over to Boston. So it's just, again, it's nice to see them attract a free agent. Like, I don't care what the reason is. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Like Greer's building a very nice young core that they just have to get right to develop, and that's the hardest part. Like you can have as many first round picks as you want, but you gotta hit on them and you gotta develop.
Exactly. Jules, you're stuck in this frozen position of like looking behind your back if somebody's coming after you.
No, I know, I can see it. It's funny. It's me looking back in like 10 years on how bad the Sharks team was and looking super scared for my life.
Exactly. Jesus. Super chat donation from Jerry F. Thanks for the great coverage, TT USA. Well, thank you, Jerry. Your super chats always help out, and we love the fans. We do it for you guys. And quite frankly, we do it as an outlet for all sports fans in general. I think we'll talk a little bit about that in the coming moments. But Jules, also, I wanted to speak really quickly on another prospect, one that's been with the Barracuda now, and there's been some, shall we say, rumors afoot about where this player might end up. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, so I'm blanking on the guy who he's, from my understanding, a pretty reliable source saying Gushin might be heading to the KHL after the season. One, this is just a rumor, and it was put out there. This was just a rumor. I saw a follow-up tweet later that they saying it came out of Russia. It may have, I don't have any confirmation on this. This is just from what I've been reading, that it apparently came out of Russia, from my understanding. So there is a rumor that he's heading back to the KHL, but he has another year left on his ELC. That's the thing. Like this, they would have to basically terminate the contract for this to even happen. And guys, people were started to freak out. Like it's a rumor. We don't know if it's true. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Gushin's leaving to the KHL, because I don't know if that's true. It's a rumor. But you don't see teams just like, I think it's a rumor, and I don't think there's any reason to freak out over it right now, because it genuinely makes no sense and is out of the norm. So there's my comment on that. You can blame the CUDA culture if you want. That's on you. That's your prerogative. But yeah, that's all I was going to say to that, because it did come out, but again, we don't know what's going to happen there. There may be other reasons. So there's a rumor out there Gushin said back to the KHL, and that's it. We're gonna, yeah,
but of course,
why is Gushin not playing for the Sharks? I don't know.
and I think that's partly if the rumor does hold true, I mean, we could point to, you know, maybe a lack of getting the call up to the big club. Maybe it is let's see here, I'm going to try and see if we can't get Jules back and getting her video moving. But again, let's go back to Gushin and why, you know, he would want to try to move on. And again, maybe it's the lack of playing time. Maybe it's the lack of, you know, not moving through the organization as quick as he wants. I'm going to try and call her back here. And, you know, what does that show about the team itself? I don't know. Maybe it's talking a little bit about how they need to reinvest in going, you know, reinvest in the players and reinvesting in player development. Or maybe it points to a lack of confidence in the player itself. But either way, it's troubling to see the rumors. Again, Daniel Gushin is a guy who we all thought was going to be a part of the piece going forward, a piece of the future going forward. It's a player that I would love to see with the Sharks because of his creativity and because of his shot. I think, you know, a guy that has NHL skill. I think we'd always wondered a little bit about two-way game, but again, he's not that type of player to go out and win a Selke, you know? So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Do we have Jules back? Jules, yeah.
Hello.
There you are.
Okay, my computer decided to die. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, in regards to the Gushkin situation, guys, again, it's a rumor. We don't know if it's happening. I don't want to sit here and be like, freak out over it, if that makes sense. I mean, we don't know what's going on. I'm not I want to wait to see what happens. And if it does come out that he's leaving, we can start throwing questions out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jules, it's good to have you back. And let's quickly round out tonight's episode, I think, with some sombering news coming out of Major League Baseball. If you haven't been paying attention to the other news in the sports world, the Oakland Athletics have decided to play out the remaining time before their stadium in Las Vegas is completed in West Sacramento. They'll be playing at Sutter Health Park, the home of the Sacramento Rivercats. And I think that this has been a long time coming. I think for Oakland fans and for A's fans, the saga has, you know, continued for the last 20 plus years. We've talked about, you know, just the type of atmosphere that Oakland has and the fact that they've lost three teams in the span of 10 years, basically. It's not good. It's not a good time to be an Oakland sports fan. But quite honestly, I think in most Bay Area sports, because there is so much cross-pollination, I think we had a large group of A's and Sharks fans, just as we have a large group of Giants and Sharks fans. And, you know, look, I grew up as a Giants fan. You know, my father, actually a little bit of background, my grandparents came from the New York area. My grandmother was an original Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and my grandfather was an original New York Giants fan. And when the teams left in 58, my grandmother decided that, hey, you know what? I'm never going to watch baseball again. And my grandfather said, hey, I'll be a Yankees fan. So fast forward now, you know, in 91, when I was born, my mom was a big A's fan and my father was a Giants fan. So I always grew up with both of the teams being, you know, playing on in the background. You know, I've got kids pictures of me in the little white elephant with the little white elephant A's shirt, you know, growing up. I have pictures of, you know, a cotton Giants jersey. And so both of these teams have always been ingrained with me. And truth be told, baseball was the first game I ever learned how to play with my father. And, you know, before the Sharks were even, you know, a wink in the eye, you know, we had baseball in the Bay Area. So to see the team move to Sacramento is bittersweet. But I think it goes to show you the finality and the, not finality, but the fragility and how fragile sports fandom is, and how, you know, we're seeing now with the Sharks, you know, a lack of attendance, and because of the on-ice product being what it is, you know, concerns about the future of the Sharks and where, you know, where their intersection with future plans with the city redevelopment. And, you know, while SAP Center is not old, it's also not young either, right? I mean, it's in its prime, and I still love the Tank, and I think the Tank is going to be a viable option for many, many, many years to come. The Sharks have done a really good job of renovating it, keeping it up to speed. But I think it kind of goes to show you the just how fragile sports teams are within markets and how support doesn't always lead to keeping a team in a city. And it takes a real partnership between an owner and a city to have a team be financially successful and have it also be successful locationally. And quite frankly, the Oakland City's office didn't do a good job for the first, you know, let's say from 2000 to, you know, 2010, until real options of the A's leaving Oakland became, you know, a center stage was before Oakland got its butt in gear. So this is not all on just the A's. I think it's partly Oakland's got to take some ownership of waiting until the very last second to really start kicking it into gear. But you also have an owner who has no shame, apparently, and he might be a Bay Area native, but he definitely doesn't show any loyalty to the Bay Area. And so it leads me to a larger point of we don't really have a lot of mechanisms to show displeasure to ownership, to show displeasure in the inner workings and the financial workings and the political workings of how sports are kept in town. So while I think we're all very tired of a bad Shark season, I'm just happy that the Sharks are here, and you know that the fact that they've got a long-term lease with the city. And I hope that once the team does start to have good on-ice performances again, and the fan base heals from some pretty nasty injuries that we've had in the last, you know, couple of years with the trades and with the way in which the team has performed, I hope that we latch on. And as far as we being the fans relatch to the team, I know Hasso has commitments to the city, and again, I think Hasso is an owner who cares about his team. I think he cares about the community. I question the logic in some of the moves or logic that he has insofar as not having a president of operations and not really having a right-hand hockey guy like Doug Wilson was. But I think he also, you know, he might feel still a little burned about Wilson and the fact that maybe Wilson sold some goods that weren't exactly the end-all be-all, because we know how some of the moves in the end worked for Wilson. So I am just really, I think I'm choked up for the city of Oakland, choked up for A's fans. You know, me partially an A's fan and seeing them leave is horrible. And again, the same thing with the Raiders. I mean, I liked seeing the Raiders do well. I know for that fan base in particular, though, it's about the shield and the silver and black and not necessarily where they play, which I don't agree with because, you know, I think as most people could tell, I'm Bay Area first kind of person. So to me, losing any of the teams is just gut-wrenching. So again, I just wanted to kind of call that out there and just say, hey, look, as bad as the Sharks have been, there are some really good things on the horizon. And, you know, deity willing, we get Celebrini and able to bring a future junior Shark or a previous junior Shark and maybe a future superstar to the team, I think would be incredible. And I hope that again the fans kind of come back in droves and we see the tank rustling, bustling like we used to, and you know, almost having the roof come off. So anyways, Jules, I mean, I don't know if you want to add anything else or just want to talk about your fandom in general with sports, but you know, kind of sad days, and I hate to see franchises move. It's the worst.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to those A's fans, and like, I mean, like Oakland has lost like feels like three teams in like a very short period of time. So like, my heart goes out to y'all. Like, I mean, the Sharks is like the main team I like cheer for. So, I mean, I can't imagine if they move the emotions and the feelings that I would be going through. So my heart goes out to all of you. And like, you know, it's, I don't know, like it's a sad day for, I think, a lot of fans here.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit closer to home as far as hockey goes, we're now talking about a Coyotes team potentially removing themselves from the Phoenix area and going somewhere else. And that's tough. I mean, because you talk about a franchise that have been consistently shit on from pretty practically,
I mean, they're playing in an arena with like less than like an age, like a college level arena. Like, I know it's a sick environment, but like, Yeah, like.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest, Jules. I mean, they did not make any fans by moving a team from Winnipeg to Phoenix, right? I mean, that was kind of like the first mistake. The second mistake has just been the complete clown show that has been ownership of the Coyotes. They've gone from Mickey Mouse owner to Mickey Mouse owner, never being able to have, you know, something of stability there. And then not only that, but then to take a ill-conceived arena deal in Glendale and to remove themselves from the downtown Phoenix area was just a complete, it was just a complete and utter lack of good field work to tell you that the fan base is based out of Phoenix. It's going to take them at least 45 minutes to get to Glendale, and you're not going to have a fan base traveling all that much. We've seen this in other sports. It just does not work. Commuting type of stadiums do not work.
Unless it's the NFL. I do want to give a shout out, though, to Yotes fans, because they have made Bullet Arena a very fun place, it seems like. And they've embraced it. And I think the Coyotes have also. So shout out to Yotes fans. Y'all have had a rough, feels like a decade right now. Shout out to Yotes fans. Shout out to Logan Cooley. Oh, yeah, and the Newfoundland Growlers just suspended their operations. Just, again, horrible. It sounds like ownership with them also. I don't know the full story there, but it sounds like they had really bad ownership.
And, I mean, look, Newfoundland, that's a heck of a place to play as far as, remoteness, trying to continually have teams be able to come up in there and travel. And it's a logistics nightmare. And
yeah.
It's tough, but if anybody in the chat ends up getting the ability to go to Canada, I really recommend going and seeing just how hockey crazed the city is, the country is, and you look at the Maritimes and it's a place that's underserved as far as hockey teams go, but yet you look at how much they support their ECHL teams, their CHL team, or in this case it would be QMJHL, but there's so much passion within the Maritimes and even parts of Quebec that are close to the Maritimes. Your heart goes out to the people that are going to lose their team because they're not going to have an outlet anymore. So
it's been a rough few days for sports fans.
it has, and I think that there's going to be some more roughness, especially with how owners across different leagues are doing this, and really it's honestly about the bottom line, and I think there's no more better visualization than the A's moving to Vegas or Coyotes moving out of Phoenix if they don't win the bid
it,
in North Phoenix.
It sounds like from what I'm they seem to be I think they get it done, but I've said that a lot about them the last like 5-ish 10-ish years. So
plus then they got to go do environmental impact reports, then they got to go do land redevelopment, they have to have the land rezoned. So look, they buy the land, it's still not a done deal.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with them. But again, my heart goes out to any Oakland fans. All the y'all lost so many teams. It's genuinely unfair at this point. And Yotes fans also.
Well, I think we're gonna end it on this somber note. We're gonna hit that 45-minute mark, and I think this is about the time we normally jet out. So if you liked it and you want to watch it again, or in case you missed it, or you want to check it out on the next time we go live, of course, if you're a long timer, we go live after every single Sharks game. We don't know why we do the abuse to ourselves either, but smash and like, smash the subscribe button. It's in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. Put the thumbs up button and hit the bell notification to know when we go live. Of course, like I said, we go live after every single Sharks game, but we also go live after Barracuda games too. And, you know, if there's interesting news that's afoot, we also go live about that if it concerns your Sharkies. But if you like it and don't want to check it out on the YouTube, but maybe want to ingest it on the audio form, go check it out across your podcatcher of choice, that being the Apple Podcast Store, the Google Play Store, of course, the aforementioned YouTube Rewind. You've got SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, and Odyssey, all as options to get the podcast. And of course, you can always find the rundown and both the audio and video version at tealtownusa.com. Well, Jules, I really appreciate you being here, and thank you so much for giving all your insights on the game and just sports in general. But I want to leave you with the last word and where the people can find you.
Yep, you can find me at @sharks_Jules. My final thoughts is again, my heart goes out to all of the Oakland fans. So just know that. And rewinding it a bit here, Colin Graf is a San Jose Shark.
Very nice.
And we are 7 points away from claiming, I think 7 or 8 points from being the top number one to get who again? Sorry, I don't remember the name.
Some Celebrini guy. I don't know.
Is he any good?
I've heard that he can play hockey. I don't know how well.
Yeah. Anyways, like that. Graf is a San Jose Shark, and Malcolm Celebrini, hopefully soon, San Jose Shark.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, if you want to find me, you can use my first name. That's E-R-I-K. And then my last name, L-A-N-D-I, across all of the social media garbage. I do have a few DMs waiting in the X machine. Don't worry. I have not forgotten about you. But yeah, reach out if you guys want to talk some puck. Guys or gals want to talk some puck, want to talk some sports. I'm here for it all the time. And for all of us here at Teal Town USA, you know how we like to end it. We like to keep it teal. We like to keep it real teal. And thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you after the next game.
Don't forget Quentin Musk.